There's a general question about how to and to what extent the historical events and changing historical circumstances can impact halacha. This is a question which is revisited in many, many times and in virtually every area of halacha. But I thought appropriate for today is a specific question that relates to one of the tefillos we say on Tisha B'Av, the tefillah of Nachem, and specifically to address how the historical circumstances, if not in our generation, but in recent generation, not that long ago, 1967, how the events of the Six-Day War and the miracles of 1967, amazing miracles which we were zocha as a nation to experience, how or to what extent might those impact the halacha? And the question is really both powerful and straightforward. How do we define Churban Habayis? How do we define Churban? Is Yerushalayim still b'Churbana? Or would we view Yerushalayim nowadays b'Vinyana? These are terms that the Gemara uses in a different context, which we'll get to. But this is an important question, which you would say was either hypothetical or not even hypothetical. Who could even have dreamed of it? And yet now it's actually not only you can dream it, it's halacha lamaisa. We have to know to answer the question. And of course, the second issue, which whenever you discuss changing or altering tefillos, so then it becomes a question of, even if one thinks it's appropriate to change the tefillah, which is an if and a but, then the question is, do we have the koach? Who gets to change tefillos? What is the status and what is the stature of those tefillos? So I think these are questions which are generally interesting, but they're actually particularly relevant when we consider the events of the Six-Day War and their impact on Tisha B'Av nowadays, and specifically on the tefillah of Nachem. The earliest source that I'm aware of for the tefillah of Nachem is the source on the top of your sheet, which is a Yerushalmi in the Masechta Tainis. Here the Yerushalmi tells us, in the name of a number of Chachamim, Yochid b'Tisha B'Av, Tzorach lahazkir me'ein ha-ma'ora. This is a familiar halachic term. We know that whether it's Rosh Hashanah, Yom Tov, Shabbos, we always have a chiyuv of haskaras me'ein ha-ma'ora. We have to make reference to the uniqueness, to the status of the day. So on Shabbos we add Ritzei, and on Yom Tov we add Yalav Yavo, and the like. So says the Yerushalmi, Tisha B'Av is also a moed, and Tisha B'Av also has a chiyuv of a haskaras me'ein ha-ma'ora. Umahu omer, what is that? So the first thing we notice is that the original source in the Yerushalmi is not Nachem. Rachem, Hashem Elokeinu. We ask Hashem not for comfort, but for rachmanus, for mercy. Hashem should have a mercy, rachamecha harabim, with his great kindness and his faith in us, al Yisrael amecha, val Yushlaim yirecha, v'el tzion mishkan kavodecha. Should have mercy on us, on the nation, on Yerushalayim. V'al ha'ir, Yerushalayim is mentioned specifically here. V'al ha'ir ha'avela, etc. It's destroyed, it's shomema, it's empty. Hanasuna biyad zarim, it's given over to our enemies, to strangers. It's swallowed up by legionos, it's been mechulol by ovde pesilim. Exactly, right? Exactly, yeah, 100%. It's very graphic, and it's graphic for a reason. That's right. There are source sheets here if anyone's still coming in once.
But it was built up.
Haber's getting to a point, which I want to get to shortly, which is, it begs the question, how do you define Churban? And your point is going to be one which we'll keep in mind in a moment, okay? And then, as the Yerushalmi continues on the fourth line, and then mentions exactly the destruction, Ki Be'esh, a little bit of hope, the idea of HaKadosh Baruch Hu destroying the Beis HaMikdash with fire, the hope that one day it will be rebuilt in a miraculous way through fire. These are the themes that are mentioned, as I say, as far as I'm aware, in the earliest source for Nachem, which is not Nachem but Rachem. And this is the Yerushalmi. This text of the Yerushalmi, more or less, and specifically with the opening word of Rachem, is actually quoted then in the Seder of Amram Gon, which may be the first Seder that we ever had, as well as it's quoted in the Rambam. The Rambam quotes this twice. In Hilchos Tefillah, the Rambam mentions this very, very briefly. He just talks about a Tefillah on Tisha B'Av called Rachem. But then, as some of you may know, the Rambam also has a Nusach of a Siddur in the Mishnah Torah. And in the Rambam Siddur, you have pretty much the entire Tefillah. Also with Rachem, and there in detail, with the words more or less approximating the Yerushalmi. But there are a number of differences between this text, and particularly the opening word, than the Nachem, which is in our Sidurim. Of the early versions of the Tefillah, the one that comes closest to what we're familiar with, I think, is quoted in the Machzor Vitri. The Machzor Vitri from the Talmidim of Rashi, the author died in the beginning of the 12th century, I think it was 1105 or something exactly like that. And here, if you look in the second source on your sheet, we have Nachem. It switches from Rachem, Rachmanus, to Nechama, to have consolation. Aveli Tzion, Ves Yerushalayim, Ves Ir HaAveila, HaBezuya, Chareva, Shomema, Tzechriva, Mimamaos, Yisrael, HaShomema, Mibli Baneha, it's empty, there's nobody there, Yosheves, Verosha, Chafui, right, it's like a woman, Akara, she has no children, empty, the city is empty, swallowed up by the legions of the armies of our enemies, etc., etc. They took us to kill us, the Zodon, Chassid Elyon, etc. And then the Tefillah ends here, Baruch Hashem, Menachem Tzion Iro, Ubone Yerushalayim. And this is much, much closer now to our Nusach. So by the time these various parallel Nuschaos filter down to eventually to the tour into the Beis Yosef, it's clear that there were two Nuschaos, and the Mefarshim deal with, and the Poskim, I should say, deal with two issues. One is what's the correct Nusach, and then, even though it's not mentioned in any of the earlier sources, it seems that at some point it became clear that the Minog was only to say this Tefillah at Mincha. And this is a surprise. The Yerushalmi refers to this Haskaras Meinam Ora. All of the other Haskaros that we have, Yalav Yavo and Alanisim and the like, we don't wait till Shacharis, or let alone till Mincha of Purim to begin Alanisim or anything like that, or Yalav Yavo on Pesach. We begin it when the day begins. So even though it's not clear exactly what the authority is or when this Minog started, the Poskim already by the time of the Rishonim acknowledge that and are troubled by it. So if you take a look at the Tur, the third source on your sheet, the Tur tells us, also refers to this as a Haskara Meinam Ora, and what is it? So it's interesting, the Tur still has the Nusach of Nachem, Hashem Elokeinu, etc., etc. Gives you just a brief version of it, but then in the second line, the Tur quotes his father, the Rosh, who says, Kol Yamai Timesi, Lama Ein Omrimosa Ela Betfilas Mincha. So again, we don't know how early this change happened, but already in the Rush, he's acknowledging it. He's not trying to change it. It was so widespread that the Rush didn't just pass it off as some mistaken, non-frum minion. It was already the minimum. But the Rush doesn't understand. Why should this be? After all, if the source of this is the concept in Chazal of Yochidam, Matishab of Tarach Lahaskimen Amora, Mistama Bechalt Filosav, Kamarvis, Shacharis, Mincha, like Rosh Chodesh, like Hanukkah, like Purim. So then the Tur quotes that perhaps there's a compromise. Maybe one question answers the other. We weren't sure what the difference between Nachem and Rachem. We're not sure why we would only say it and Mincha. So he says, Ikaduchtin, Dinhigi Lememer, Arvis Shachris Rachem, Uba Mincha Nachem. So the first source we have of pegging Nachem at Mincha is this attempt, and it's a very awkward attempt at that, to try to resolve the various nuschos. It says the Tur, says the Rush, there are places, Ikka Duchtin, where they have a compromise. They say a tefillah all three times, every time, Ma'ariv, Shacharis, and Mincha, but the first two is Rachem, and only the third is Nachem. Now, why should that be? He says, V'ham Milsa, Talya b'minhaga. This is just a minhag, don't get so excited one way or the other. Different places have different minhagim. And then he says, Afa gav de leka shinui bein Nachem l'Rachem. So says the Tur, it's no big deal. Anan kol yoma, the Tisha b'av matzlina na'al nachama. We're always asking Hashem for comfort. Ubein en rachmim al hamilsa. We also need rachmanas. So kind of poo-poos the whole difference in the nusach. It's not really a big deal. Nachem, rachem. So we had to, you know, there's two different minhagim in nuschos and klal Yisrael. So in some places they figured a clever way. You know, they want to have achdus. So they say, we'll just do both. So we'll do some here and some there. Interesting. When you take a look at the Beis Yosef, which is then echoed in the Shulchan Aruch passes as follows. Or Chaim, Tovkuf, Nun Zayin, Sif Aleph, Batishibav Omer, Bebone, Yerushalayim, Nachem, Hashem, Elokeinus, Avleit Zion. And the Shulchan Aruch himself never limits it to Mincha. And if I'm not mistaken, I didn't check this out so well, although now we have Kanayin Hara, 3 Svardim and Yonim every week now in the neighborhood. We went from 1 to 3 in the last year. So now we could have 3. I didn't ask I don't know exactly the difference between the 3 minyanim. But maybe I shouldn't ask that question on Tisha B'Av. But anyway, let's assume that they come from different places in Eretz Sfarad, and therefore there was a need for 3 different minyanim. So I'm not sure what the different minyanim are, but I think that there are certainly certain Sfaradi Kehillahs based on this Marana Mechaber, who sure enough say, whether it's the Nachim or the Rachim, but they say it all 3 times. Because the Shulchan Aruch does not himself distinguish. So it comes along the Ramah. It says Haminah Gaposhut Shinomrim Nachem Rak Betfilas Mincha. Even he has the lashon of, but he switches finally to Nachem. Also, like the Shulchan Aruch again, the Tur had the Rachem, but now by the Shulchan Aruch you have Nachem and the Ramah is Nachem. But says the Ramah Rak Betfilas Mincha. But here we have one of the first examples of an explanation. Why should it be? So in the Tur we had this kind of a compromise. We don't know which nusach to do, so let's do both. The Ramah is saying, no, we only say it once, we only use one nusach, and we use Nachem. Why? What's the difference? What would be better about Nachem? So he explains, Lefi she'oz hititzu b'mikdash eish, v'lechein mispalim oz al hanchama. In other words, and again, I'm trying to give one theory to answer both. Why do we dafka wait till Mincha? For the same reason that we can get up and sit on a regular chair at Mincha. Because we know that despite the fact that we commemorate Tisha B'Av, the Gemara tells us that the actual burning of the Mikdash did not happen until Mincha time, until actually the late afternoon. If you have an early Mincha, it's interesting. But the actual historical events apparently took place Samuch Le'erev, in later afternoon of Tisha B'Av. So therefore, says the Ramah, we wait until then to add the Tefillah, because the Tefillah it's not about Rachmanos asking us for mercy to prevent, to forestall something from happening. It's already happened. The Beis HaMikdash is already burning by the time you say Mincha. And therefore, we're asking for Rachmanos. That's too late for that. But we're asking for Nechama. We're asking for comfort. And therefore, in this very elegant way, in one fell swoop, the Ramah explains why we dafka do it at Mincha, given that our Nusach is dafka Nachem. Or it's a funny one.
So it's easier maybe to say that. I think that
I don't know.
It's not a main amour. It's a new thing, a new nechama. So
it makes sense what you're saying. It's just I'm nervous to like say that just because all the earlier sources refer to it as a main amour. But logically, I hear what you're saying. Logically, yeah, it follows from what I said to what you said. Yeah, okay, I plead guilty. I mean, it's not really me. I'm just reading the Ramah. But yeah, I don't know. I don't know if the Ramah would like to say it so strongly, but logically, at least I hear what you're saying. So Ad Kan Chelek Aleph of the Shir, which is just the background, so we could get to the contemporary issue. So this is where Nachem comes from, just a little Bir Tefillah, Iyun Tefillah 101. This is Rachem, this was Nachem. Put it together, our minhag is, of course, as Ramos says, we say Nachem at Mincha. As I mentioned, the purpose of the Shir is not to give the historical background, but to discuss the current events. Namely, that is to say, if you go to Yerushalayim today, you look around, is that the Ir HaVeilah HaShomeimah? Is that an empty, barren land? It's hard to square the very vivid and graphic Nusach of Nachem with Kanayin Hara, what we're blessed with in our generation in Yerushalayim. So this was a question which was Omed Al HaPerek for the Gedolim, primarily, although not exclusively, but primarily of Eretz Yisrael in the late 1960s, and that period immediately thereafter. One interesting source to mention, just that anticipates the issue, it's almost like a Chacham Odef Minavi, because he didn't even live to the founding of the state, is in the next source where you have number two, the Sefer Baruch She'amar. Who wrote the Sefer Baruch She'amar? It's a very well-known Sefer, a Biur on Tefillah, the author of the Torah Tamima, Rav Baruch Halevi Epstein, who died when? He died in 1940. So he didn't even live to see Hakamas HaMedina. However, already in 1940, Eretz Yisrael and Yerushalayim were more populated and more vibrant than had been previously. So look what the Baruch She'amar. There's a Sefer on Biur Tefillah, 27 years before the Six-Day War, and he writes as follows. Quoting again the Nusach that we're familiar with, Ha'ir Ha'vela, Ha'reva, Shamayma, says the Baruch She'amar at the Baal Torah Tamima. We know that in these descriptions are describing the era of Yerushalayim. Yesh L'Hoyer, he says, Ki Achrei She'bizman Hazeh Yerushalayim Ha'benuya Birama in Batei Chemer V'Heichalei Pe'er. Already he says in 1940, again, we don't know exactly what he was referring to, but the first edition of the book came out in around 1940. He died basically then. It was the end of his life that he published this book. So he says, it's already Yerushalayim is bustling with Batei Medrash, Miyusheves, Meyehudim, Bahamon, there are a lot of Jews living there. Ulefize lichaora, ein mokom, litore, evel Allah. How could you refer to Yerushalayim as Avela, considering the vibrancy of Yerushalayim of his day? Imagine 1940, what would he have said in 1967? It seems almost obvious. He's already struggling. He's already tempted, wrestling with the question of the appropriateness of the Nusach in 1940. So then he alludes to a very fundamental question, and this is, Ilan, what you were getting at a few minutes ago. And this is a discussion in the Beis Yosef, not in the Siman that we're discussing, Tavkuf Nun Zayin, but in a few Simanim later, Tavkuf Samach Aleph. Tavkuf Samach Aleph is the Siman that deals with Zecher L'Churban, and when you see various parts of Eretz Yisrael, what expression should your Avelos take? The Gemara, the Shulchan Aruch there is discussing the Gemara Moed Katan. We're talking about three areas of Eretz Yisrael: Ari Yehuda, Yerushalayim, and then Makom HaMikdash. And the Gemara and Mishnah there says, if you see any of those places, Bichurbanam, then you say certain psukim from the Navi, and you tear Kriya. What's not at all clear for hundreds of years, from the close of the Gemara until the Beis Yosef, is how do you define Churban? As far as I know, anyone could find it, please let me know. I don't know if anyone discussed it for hundreds and hundreds of years. Which itself, you could figure out why, because it was not relevant. It was so geferlich that it was not even a question. Plus, anyway, no one was going there. You're not declaring what will you decide about Ari Yehuda when you're running away from pogroms in France. But came along the Beis Yosef in a generation, in a wave of Aliyah, and all of a sudden came Halacha L'maisa, and the Beis Yosef, who was a master of all of Tarshish Baal Peh before him, looks around and he sees there's no evidence. What's defined as Churban? So the Beis Yosef in Siman Tov Kuf Samach Aleph, which the Baruch Shammah, I'm giving you the whole background, the Baruch Shammah just alludes to this. He has a Chakira. He clears two possibilities. What is the definition of Churban? And he's talking specifically, check it up, about Ari Yehuda. Keep that in mind for a moment. He says one possibility is it goes by facts on the ground. Are there Jews living there or not? Avela pshuta kamashmo. The woman who's the akarat, there's no children, en yeladeha, there's nobody there. So says the Beis Yosef, one possibility is all we care about is the boots on the ground. We don't care about politics, sovereignty, geopolitical things, conferences, agreements, white papers. All we care about are facts on the ground. And we know, Adi Yom HaZeh, this is a very real thing. Right? Every time JNF wants you to plant another tree, and another group takes another hilltop in Yehuda Bishamran, right? The reason is because whatever the politics will be, when you have facts on the ground, you have people living there, that can create a reality that the legal system will eventually catch up to. So says the Beis Yosef, maybe that's the definition of binyana or churban. If there are Jews living in Israel, that's Bivinyana. What do I care if it's the Ottomans, if it's the Turks, if it's the British, if it's the Persians, if it's the Babylonians or the Romans, or the Greeks? Who cares who has control of Eretz Yisrael? We're not about politics, we're about facts on the ground. If Jews are living here, it's the home of the Jews. That's one possibility. But then, says Abbe Yosef, maybe another possibility. Pumfa care, just the opposite. Maybe the definition of Churban versus Binyan is all dependent on politics. Yes, politics can have halachic significance. We shouldn't poo-poo it. What happens in the political arena can have political halachic implications. Says Beis Yosef, maybe the definition of Churban is when the Moshlim of Eretz Yisrael are the Nachrim. If the non-Jews are ruling over Eretz Yisrael, thus is a Churban. Not just a Chil Hashem, but it's a Churban. A definition of Churban is based on sovereignty, says the Beis Yosef. And it doesn't matter if there could be thousands of Jews. Ubechutzos Yerushalayim. There could be Zakenim and Zakenos. It doesn't matter if the British are running it, if the Greeks are running it, if the Romans are running it, if the Catholic Church doesn't. Then it's Churban. And if the Jews have sovereignty, even if there's just two or three little Yingalach running around, and just a bunch of weeds, but it's our land and we have sovereignty, that would be Binyana. Those are the two possible definitions in the Beis Yosef. And then he says, in his opinion, the second definition is correct. That we go based on politics. That it matters. What happens in the geopolitical arena has nafka mina lahalacha. And that's what the Baruch Shammah here is alluding to. He quotes the Beis Yosef, and then it's also paskin lahalacha in the Magen Avram. There could be thousands of Jews. The country is teeming with Jews and Batei Medrash and everything. Calls the man shame tachas memshelas acheres, and not lo tachas malchus Yisrael. Adayin yikru charevim. So the Baruch Shemar, the Baal Torah Tamima, ends his piece. Says, listen. At first, I thought maybe we should consider changing Nachem. After all, look how many Jews are in Yerushalayim. In 1940, it's a thriving metropolis. Then he says, in my lifetime, right now, there's nothing to do. Why? Because it's still not controlled by us. It's still controlled by non-Jews. But obviously, the logic would follow, if you held like a Torah Tamima, that it's all based on sovereignty. So it comes 1967, and we regain sovereignty over all of Yerushalayim. It would seem that what exact changes he would make? I'm not a mind reader. But certainly logically it follows from the Baal Torah Tamima that he for sure would have said you have to make changes. He was already worried about making changes in 1940. The only reason he didn't is because it was controlled by the non-Jews, but it wasn't controlled by the Jews. I'll take your question in 1 second, but just worth noting that this issue of the definition is going to be one which, as we're going to see in a moment, the other post-scheme are going to grapple with. But just to be aware, it is part of a larger issue. I think it was a year or two ago, one of the Shabbos shiurim I think we have in the neighborhood, I gave a related shiur about tearing kriya on Makom HaMikdash after the Six-Day War, where there was also a machlokas. And the machlokas is exactly the same thing. The same Beis Yosef, the same Magen Avram. If you assume that Churban means sovereignty, so 1967, when we retake sovereignty over Makom HaMikdash, maybe now there should no longer be kriya. In fact, this was an earlier debate when it came to Yerushalayim. The Beis Yosef said what he said, and no one's arguing with the Beis Yosef or the Magen Avram, but they were talking about Eretz Yehuda. But Yerushalayim is not discussed explicitly, Makom HaMikdash is not discussed. So sure enough, there's a big machlokes about Yerushalayim. Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach and Rav Soloveitchik both felt that Yerushalayim is still Bechurban. This will be relevant, obviously, for today's year. However, the Minog Yisrael, in most parts, as I'm aware of, follows Rav Moshe Feinstein, who in a tshuva wrote, Yerushalayim, just like our Yehuda, goes by Shilton, goes by sovereignty. So if Yerushalayim in 1967 has been retaken by the Tzahal, by Medina Yisrael, no more Kriya on Yerushalayim. Shlomo Zalman Orbach, Rav Soloveitchik disagree. And the super-duper close Talmidim of the Rav that I know, still, how do you almost say, do tear even for Yerushalayim, because that was the Rav Shita. But the overwhelming Minhag Yisrael is like Rav Moshe Feinstein and other poskim who followed him. We don't tear, even on the Ir Atikah. It's against the Gemara. The Gemara says, you see, Yerushalayim, you're supposed to tear it. The answer is no, we have sovereignty now. That's not what the Gemara was referring to. What about Makom HaMikdash? So this is also a very heated machlokes, and it was a particularly heated machlokes in 1967. There were those, most notably initially Rav Goren and Rav Tzvi Yehuda Cook, Rav Chaim David Halevi, and others who felt, how can you tear a Makom HaMikdash? Har HaBayit B'yadeinu. That's a halachic statement already. Har HaBayit B'yadeinu says halachic significance. How can we tear? And there were many, many others, including Rabbi Soloveitchik, and Rabbi Moshe Feinstein, and Rabbi Shlomo Zalman Orbach, and others, who felt, no, as long as there's no Beis HaMikdash, so then Makom HaMikdash is B'churbana. That's a related machlokes. So keep that in mind. We'll reference it again. But keep that in mind, because you see already from this Baruch Shamar, all of that is relevant to the related, but admittedly different question of the Nusach of Nachen, because it's getting at the same issue, which is the one you raised before, which is how do you define Churban? So we have two Nafkaminas. One is whether to tear Kriya, and the other is, can you honestly refer to Yerushalayim with such graphic Lashon of Churban Bizman Azeh? Obviously, it goes without saying, and we thank Hashem for this, if the Baruch Shamar could describe Yerushalayim as built up and thriving in 1940, one could only imagine Alach Es Kama V'Kama, what we have now. Yeah. Which, for what?
I mean, for why...
One way or the other?
Make any...
It's a svara. There's no makaros.
Right.
What happened when we had the Churban? That Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, the country was burned, and we lost sovereignty.
Well, sovereignty was lost many, many years before the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed.
That's a good point.
Kind of like...
Right, and certain halachos...
Was spent without...
Right. So the question is, how? To what extent does that matter? So clearly, you see already going back again, it's a tradition going back to the Beis Yosef and the Magen Avram. They felt that that ultimately, again, it doesn't define everything. No one, let's just be clear, nobody, no matter what one says about Nachem, let's say, or whatever, no one says get rid of Tisha B'Av. Right? No one says, oh, we have everything we want already. At some point, there's a gvul. But you see a very, very mainstream tradition in the postgame going back over 400 years, to define at least le'inyan certain halachos, churban as being a lack of sovereignty, and with sovereignty already being considered bivinyana. So that was, again, this is still only theoretical or hypothetical, because obviously the Torah Tamima died in 1940. But take a look at the next few sources. These are from the poskim who were writing and active in the 1960s and beyond. What did they say? So the most famous and the most ardent advocate of making radical change, basically completely rewriting the Tefillah of Nachem, was Rav Goren. Rav Goren, as we know at the time, was the chief rabbi of Tzahal, eventually became the chief rabbi of the country. So he had control at least of Tzahal. Once he became the chief rabbi of the country, it's a little less more complicated. But at least he was able to put in at the time, this is a source from the official Tzahal Siddur. Siddur Tefillos L'Chayag L'Kol HaShana. And you take a look, and he quotes this discussion. He says, "Hanusach haMesorati haMedaber al Bezuya Shomayma etc. Me'ein Yoshev Eina Holeim Kashe Yerushalayim Shucharetz V'Nimtzeid B'Shilton Yisrael." How can you say these words nowadays when Eretz Yisrael, Yerushalayim, excuse me, is under the sovereignty of the Jewish people? Lachain, therefore, Bacharnu B'Nusach Shoneh the Tfilas Nachem Hamavusas al Talmud Yerushalmi Rav Amram Gon Harambam etc. He says, therefore, I basically, based on various sources, he did like a smorgasbord. He took a little bit of the Rambam, going a little bit from the Rambam, a little bit from Yerushalmi. He put it all together, and he basically rewrites the tefillah with some very, very significant changes. You have in the paragraph right below is the nusach of Rav Goren. If anyone wants to be a Talmud of Rav Goren today at Mincha, this right here, the next paragraph from the words Nachem to Yerushalayim, that is his tefillah. I won't read the whole thing with you inside, but I'll just point out a few of the significant changes. Number one, he deletes the words Bezuyah and Shomema. Number two, he deletes the whole sentence of Avela, Mibli Baneha, Vachareva, also deleted. The next sentence, Vehi Yoshevet, also deleted. What does he add? He adds something which is optimistic and speaks about a very positive thing, which actually does come from the Yerushalmi, where he speaks about the idea of Ul Yisrael Amecha Nasata Nachalo, Lizera Yeshurun right? How he gave a Yerusha. In other words, it's not you took away, but Baruch Hashem, we're living in a generation where you gave back. He also has other sentences from Rav Amram Gaon. So between what he takes away and what he puts back, so you have a very, very Nachem he kept. The word Nachem is still there, but pretty much every other word was up for debate, and he takes away a lot, and he radically, radically rewrites the tefillah. That was the Shita of Rav Gorin, and this was the Nusach that he was able to push in, at least in a few of the official Sidurim. A contemporary, who Kanai Nahara is still alive and well, is the chief rabbi, the Rishon, the Sephardic chief rabbi of Netanya, Harav David Shlush. He's still alive and well. You could go see him in Netanya. And if you don't want to go to Netanya, in Scheinfeld, you have a family named the Rudolphs. So Mrs. Rudolph, one of the young couples there, she is a Shlush. Her grandfather is the chief rabbi, Josh Rudolph's wife. Her grandfather his wife is the granddaughter of Rav Shlush. So I remember a year or two ago they made a bris in Rabbi David's shul, and sure enough the bris didn't start until HaChacham Rav Shlush came in. It's amazing to see the reverence that Sfaradim have for their Chachamim. By the time he finally walked in, people were literally falling onto the floor, and as he was walking by, grabbing his two hands and kissing his hands. If it would happen in Ashkenazic circles, I don't know how we'd react, but apparently this is Mukubal for Chacham Shlush. And he's a great, great Sephardi posek. He was a machut with Rav Chaim David Halevi, very much in the Sephardi world, but very, very respected. So he has tshuvas called Chemda Genuza. And in Simen Chav Beis, he also discusses this. And he writes, again, it's very human, very emotional. Ha'im nucha lahamshich kayom b'nusuch zesh nitkin kirushalayim ha'isal al-ideh-soneinu. Is it possible? We're going to keep the same nusuch that they had when Yerushalayim was destroyed by our enemies, Ayitochin, Le'alos, Al-Dalos, Faseinu, Hamilim, Herach Hariva, etc. Can we say that Yerushalayim, Biras Yisrael, Shokekes Mibaneh, V'olechas Paretzes, it's growing and it's growing? Can we say that this is the Legionam of the Zarim took over the land, Kishakayale Yisrael, Tzvotav, Sholtim, Shilton, Molei Al Yerushalayim, V'arim Svoseh, Hayitochin, Le'alos, Asav, Shoneinu, Dvarim, Shenogdim, Es Hametzius? Can we lie? And he compares it in the continuation. He says, if you keep on doing this, he says, this is as if somebody is praying for a chola, please, 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 after the person's already been cured. He says, it's a joke what we're doing. He's already cured. You have a tehillim rally and we're crying, please, 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 make the person all better. The person's already better. It's a joke. So he says it's true that in Yerushalayim gam parkei ol barabim. Yes, you know, not everything's perfect. Not every part of Yerushalayim is one big base medrash. But so what? Ha'im b'bayis rishon ha'ya'am ha'yoshay b'tzion yoser tzadik mashim b'yameinu. You know how it is. Everyone thinks that everyone once upon a time was all very big tzadikim. Says the Shulchan, wasn't true. It was so bad now, it's worse than it was in bayis rishon. It was terrible then too. How can we change it? So he said, therefore, in the end, I don't want to read the whole thing, we don't have time, but basically, Rav Shlush says he cannot accept keeping the Nusach as it was. On the other hand, not everyone is a radical as much as Rav Gorin, therefore he doesn't want to make as many changes, or as radical a change. So what does he do? If you take a look, in the underlined part a few lines later, he says, Dinhu, what should we do? What makes sense? Yuchlaf ha-Nusach ha-Kayam b'Nusach ha-Holeim as Churban HaMikdash Bilvad. Every opportunity where there's a focus in the traditional Nusach on Yerushalayim, and of Shlush, he changes it to make it more directly and targeted, focusing on just the Mikdash. The Mikdash we still don't have. So therefore, those are all the changes that he makes. And he concludes on the bottom, he says, Nusach Zeh, or you want to have a little different one, V'dom Elo, Ra'ush Yutav Yuskam Adei Rabbanei Yisrael, he says, you know, this is my shita, but if we want this to become accepted, it needs a broader endorsing. Says Rav Shlush, one last point, as we're going to get back to. He says, you're going to tell me, ooh, you can't touch the Nusach of Chazal, and the Nusach of sacrosanct. Says Rav Shlush, who are you kidding? If you look in the three earliest sources, they have three different Nuschos. And all three of those are different than the one that we have, which is closer to Machzor Vitri. So the Kli was never a sacrosanct Nusach. So therefore, there's no reason we can't change it to make it more in line with current realities. Rav Chaim David Alevi, the Sephardic chief rabbi of Tel Aviv, and his tshuva Aseh Lecha Rav, he also discusses this a number of times. And he also says, very personally, again, the beauty of all these tshuvas is they write very personally, because they're writing about events that they witnessed, not just, it says in Svarim, and I can analyze. Says Chaim David Alevi, Gam ani hirgashti b'Tisha B'Av Harishon. Imagine, that first Tisha B'Av, 1967, a few months after they actually liberated Yerushalayim. Achrei Milchemes Sheshes HaYomim, She'eineni yochel yoter lomar b'tfilasi dvaram eila. How can I say these words? Shabam b'chinas dover shkarim lefnei Hashem. Right? You say, I'm going to be very frum, I'm not going to change the nusach. But if you're lying, that's a bigger avera. You're dover shkarim. You can't do it. He says, I have to do something. I have to change something. So therefore, what did he do? He made a very, very, very subtle change. He kept the whole nusach, but he changed it from present to past tense. If you see where I have it in the italics, v'esair shahaisa chareva v'hi yoshva. It wasn't that it's yoshevet v'roshachafuiro, etc., or that it's right now, ir chareva, haisa chareva. So we keep the nusach, we preserve the basic tradition, but we make a nod to the fact that that was once what it was, but by implication, no longer. A fourth position in this general camp, one could say, is something which I never saw really in writing, but al pishnayim edim, I heard, ba'al peh is the position of Aaron Lichtenstein, which will be notable because in a few minutes you'll see it against his father-in-law, the Rav. Rav Lichtenstein apparently does not publicize this in the sense that he didn't make it a psak or any big pronouncement for the yeshiva, but for those who have asked, and I know of at least two different people who asked him, and he told them, he also felt that to say the present, the traditional nusach was a problem of Dover Shkarim, but he's still a very conservative person. He didn't want to change the nusach. He didn't even want to have Rav Chaim David Alevi's changes. So all he does is he omits those phrases, the particular phrases which are the most egregious, the ones that the other Rabbanim rewrote. So he feels that it's a little bit more subtle. Instead of rewriting and changing the nusach, he just doesn't say them. That's his quiet nod to the Chasdei Hashem that we've been zocha to. So whether you radically write it like Rav Gorin, like you focus on the Beis HaMikdash like Rav Shlosh, or whether you make it in past tense like Rav Chaim David Alevi, or you just leave out a phrase here or there, those are the different options that seem to be on the table among poskim who feel that the events of 1967 have to be accounted for and shown and given deference in our practice. However, as you can imagine, despite the eminence of all of these various poskim, this is clearly, even if you add them all up, a very minority view. And most poskim in Eretz Yisrael and in Chutz La'aretz feel, for one reason or another, which we'll get to briefly, that simply one cannot or perhaps should not change the nusach. And cannot and should not is a big difference. Meaning cannot means, even if I agree in theory, what can I do? My hands are tied. Should not means no, it's simply a mistake. And we actually have both of those among those postmen who disagree. So let's start with reference in number 3 to the position of Rav Soloveitchik. Now, Rav Soloveitchik was known in general to be extremely, extremely conservative when it came to anything with Nusach HaTfilah. Very, very traditional, very, very hesitant to move anything. You could not out from him, so to speak, when it comes to issues of Nusach. Very, very conservative and very traditional. He was a little bit less traditional in other areas of his thought, but on Nusach HaTfilah was very traditional. And that was one of the main reasons he felt that it was very, very upset. I know people, Rabbanim, who are now in their 70s, were in his shir in the 60s. And at least one, actually two of them, told me they remember at the time when the word got back to New York that Rav Gorin's making this change and Rav Gorin is doing this, that Rav Soloveitchik was beside himself. He couldn't believe a chutzpah, who does this young rabbi think he is? And he thought it was a terrible, terrible mistake. And a sanitized, substantive write-up of apparently that emotional outburst that he had in shir is included in this source number 3 from the OU's Torah Journal, Masora. And there he writes up as follows, that when Yerushalayim was conquered and the Melchemes Shesh HaYamim, Hayu Eilu Sheratzu L'Shanos HaSanosach, he doesn't even want to name them, Shetanu Shari Yerushalayim Ashav B'Yad Yisrael, Ve'in Od Charev Ha'Bezuyah, V'Rabbeinu Rav Soloveitchik Hitnagei L'Dvrayim B'Chol Tokef, Again, I know at least one Rav who was in the shir at the time. He said that's an understatement. Rav Soloveitchik was ballistic, very, very upset. Again, this is the classic of Soloveitchik Shita, super duper duper from conservative when it comes to Nusach. Now again, I'm pointing out, Rav Shlush has a pretty strong argument against this. It's one thing to say that Tfilos of the Anshei Knesset Hagdolah, which have been sacrosanct for centuries, but Nachem we know, Nachem, Rachem, this, that. Still, Rav Soloveitchik felt that certainly already for hundreds of years, certainly by the time of the Ramah, and certainly more recent than that, this is in every other siddur in the world, every other kinos in the world, and Rav Soloveitchik was not going to change it. Again, that lashon of Al Yedei Chazal seems to be a little bit imprecise, but still, there's already a tradition of this particular nusach. That's number one. But, oh, so that, if you stop there, that would be can't. I mean, even if you're right, you still can't do anything about it, because we're not Chazal, there's nothing we could do. But then he adds, and he says, anyway, they're wrong. Odamar shekolzman shahamikdash. I think that's a typo. I left that mem there. Shahamikdash charov af Yerushalayim benuyu b'yad Yisrael mikamakom nechshevus Yerushalayim gam leir chareva. This is the Rav Lashitoso when it came to the kriya that I alluded to at the beginning of the shir. Even though the minhag is not like Rav Soloveitchik, but why did Rav Soloveitchik feel that out of Yom Hazeh you have to tear kriya on Yerushalayim? Because unlike Rav Moshe Feinstein, who felt that Yerushalayim's Kedusha is defined by Shilton, the Rav held, and it's a diuk based on the Rambam here, you could look at it in the continuation, the Rav held that the Kedusha of Yerushalayim is not an independent Kedusha. His lumdus in the Rambam is that Kedusha of Yerushalayim is a spillover of Kedusha's Beis HaMikdash. As if you have a big water pitcher and you're pouring, there's so much Kedusha in Yerushalayim, in the Beis HaMikdash, that eventually that Kedusha spilled over into Yerushalayim. So as long as there's no mikdash, the Rav learned in the Rambam, then by definition, there's a chisaron in Kedushas Yerushalayim, it has a din of chareva, a din of churban, no matter how big the mirror gets. It's still not going to change that existential reality. No matter how much learning, how much tzaddikim, how many chayalim in sahal uniform, doesn't matter. If there's no Beis HaMikdash, then by definition, he held Yerushalayim is chareva. And therefore, the Rav Lashitoso held it just like, therefore, you would still tear Kriya, because it's Bechorban. Therefore, you can still say the same traditional Nusach of Nachem, Chareva, Shomeima, because halachically it's true. I may have mentioned in some of my other shiur in the neighborhood that I came up with this, it's kind of cutesy, but I still find it to be helpful. When I first started learning Mishnah with my oldest son when he was a little boy, the first Masech that we picked was Sukkah. I don't necessarily recommend starting Mishnayos with Sukkah, but we started learning a Chol Moed Sukkos. So we picked Sukkah. So Sukkah is very hard Mishnayos for a kid because it's very abstract. Dofen Akuma and Lovud and these things, it's very hard to understand even for an adult, let alone for a kid. I'm trying to explain to him that even though there's only this much walls or this much schach, but halachically there's this. So somehow in our conversations, I came up with this melitza. I told him, you look at it, you don't see it. But if you put on your halacha glasses, all of a sudden you see a different reality. There's a halachic universe. So that was like my, you know, for children, my one little melitza that I summarized the entire essay of Isha Halacha in one little cutesy melitza. The halachist looks at the world differently through halachic glasses. There's a different reality. So here also says the Rav, halachically, al pidin, Yerushalayim is chareva. If you put on your regular glasses, you don't see it. You see mamilla, you see great stuff. You put on your halacha glasses, so then it's shomeima, it's mibli baneha. That was the Rav Shita, very, very strong. And he is consistent. The surprise, the wild card in the whole shir, is Rav Tzvi Yehuda Cook. The Tzvi Yehuda Kohen Cook, he, as I alluded to at the outset, he was one of the people who felt you should not tear Kriya anymore from the 1967. If he's being consistent about the definition of Kriya, I would have expected that he would have also said you should change nothing. So sure enough, but look in the Sefer Lemikta Sheikh Tu, it's a write-up from Rav Avi Ner. He says, Sha'alti, as Rabbeinu, he said, I asked the Tzvi Yehuda, V'davra Taina Hayedua, that we should change the Nusach of Nachem, because it's Sheker nowadays. So Tzvi Yehuda told me, this is a quote from the Rav Avinair ascribes to his Rebbe, Yerushalayim hi adayin bezuya shomema, ki ikur Yerushalayim hi beis hamikdash, gam Yerushalayim atika adayin b'matzav shomema, ve'ein yoshev. It's Mamish the Rav, it's that same lumdus. that it has a halachic din of churban, is there's no Beis Mikdash. Not just the Makom HaMikdash. The whole Yerushalayim. So when I first read this, I put two and two together. So this doesn't make any sense. It doesn't make any sense. So I thought of one answer, and then I tried to inquire for probably near a second answer. The first answer I thought is, how could you have a split decision? Is it could just be that Kriya is very different than Nusach HaTfilah. That even if you held it, you could be a little bit more liberal and flexible when it comes to tearing. But could be that Rav Yehuda shared Rav Soloveitchik's innate conservative nature, which pretty much is all Gedolei Yisrael have, one form or another. Soloveitchik was just more extreme than everyone else's extreme. But every Gadol pretty much has always been extreme when it comes to Nusach Hasidur and Nusach HaTfilah. To be innately conservative. And therefore it could be that even Rav Yehuda felt leaning Kriya, you might have one level of standard. When it comes to Nusach HaTfilah, perhaps that is the reason why he wasn't willing to make the change. It could be that there's other possible reasons, but I'm not 100% sure. I tried to be in touch with somebody. There's a fellow named Rav Mordechai Tzion, who was a Rav from Buffalo, who made Aliyah a number of years ago, lives in Male Adumim, and he is like in charge of all the English publications now of Rav Aviner. So Rav Aviner also has even like a radio show. So actually, through him, I was able to connect. Got Rabbi Mordechai Kaplan connected with him. So a year or so ago, Rabbi Kaplan brought people from the Talmidim from the yeshiva to Rav Aviner's radio show. So that was bezchus this fellow of Mordechai Tzion. So I emailed him and I asked him, "Could you ask Rav Aviner, what does he think? Doesn't this seem to be inconsistent?" Rav Yehuda said not to tear anymore, but apparently he said you shouldn't change the nusach. So his suggestion was that it wasn't a difference between Nusach HaTfilah and Kriya, but it's uniqueness about Tisha B'Av. Interesting. It's Rav Aviner's theory. He said that Tisha B'Av is about Golus HaShechina. And Golus HaShechina is connected to Beis HaMikdash. Beis HaMikdash is brings down the Hashras HaShechina. So Tisha B'Av uniquely focuses not on general issues of Churban, but specifically on the Churban of the Shechina. That's what we mean when we say Churban HaBayis. And therefore, if there's no bias, there's no Hashras HaShechina, so Le'inyon Tisha B'Av, it has its din still of Churban. But Kriya, he said, going back to the Magen Avraham and the Beis Yosef, that's a din all year round, which has to do with sovereignty, nothing to do with Shechina. It has to do with sovereignty. So whether you take it as the one version or another, it's a surprise, but you could draft Rav Yehuda also to the side of Rav Soloveitchik. Beyond him, I'll just mention one or two others, and then we'll conclude. Rav Unterman, who was the Ashkenazic chief rabbi at the time, was very, very upset. Rav Avadji Yosef here in the Tshuva in Ichav Adas, also very upset. And they added another element, which is, even if you want to go with sovereignty and the like, but there's the difference in de facto and de jure. Could be that we have legally sovereignty, but said Rav Unterman and Rav Avadji also echoes this, you're going to tell me that we don't have what to mourn for when there's a mosque on Har HaBayis? When there's a Christian quarter and an Armenian quarter and this quarter and that quarter, and you have more galochim and more crosses walking around the old city of Yerushalayim than you have Gemaras sometimes. What's going on here? He says, how can you possibly? So therefore, that could be, you're going to give me Lomdus and the Rambam and Shechina and this. Facts on the ground, look at it. How could you not be crying over this? So that's again a point that some people, Rav Unterman in particular, he said, what's going on? There's Bati Avodah Zarah still in Yerushalayim. And also you see Rav Avadja mentions that as well. Rav Avadja also mentions a second issue, which is a Kabbalistic version of Rav Soloveitchik's innate conservatism when it comes to Nusach. Rav Avadja basically also echoes that, but keeping in his kind of Sephardi tradition, he quotes from older Sephardi Mukabalim and Chachamim, who basically speak about how when the Chachamim made the tefillah, so it wasn't just a tefillah and they have bigger authority than us so we can't change it, but they put in all sorts of hidden Kabbalistic meaning into all the words, and you think you know what Avela means, but how do you know what the Chachamim and all their Kabbalistic and mystical Kavanas had in it? And therefore Rav Avadji is very upset, how can anyone be so arrogant as to think that they could understand all the hidden Kabbalistic and mystical Kavanos of these words, that they think they could change them. So if you take it, all the Kabbalah and the mysticism is just the same thing as Rav Soloveitchik. Namely, we don't play around with Nusach. And whatever we think we understand, we still don't play around with it. I'll just end on one last point. So you have, again to review, Rav Soloveitchik, Rav Yehuda, Rav Avadja, Rav Unterman, I forgot to mention also Rav Avram Shapira, all hold the Shlomim and Ahar, Shal Yisraeli, all held at the time and since that one cannot change the Nusach Kiyuzeh for one of these various reasons. One of the only, if you give me even just for the reference, but deliberately, you'll see in a minute, one of the only Haredi, so to speak, identified poskim who's on record. Now, because the other ones aren't on record, trust me, it's just because it was so obvious to them that you shouldn't change it. So you could add pretty much the entire Haredi world. They didn't need to write tshuvas about it. It was obvious. But one of the only ones who even mentions it is Rav Sternbach. And it's in a footnote, in a piece, in a ha'ara to a piece, in Mo'adim Vizmanim. And he adds one last point, which perhaps is debatable, but just to round out the picture in the spirit of full disclosure, at least for some poskim, there's another factor. And he adds, "Is liniyra otam shayom roy lechaven olomar befiv b'shasha kare gama chirban yirakodesh shabunosena rabim." He says, "Well, let me back up for 1 second." So Rav Sternbach is working with the reality, which is the Minhag Yisrael nowadays. We only tear on Har HaBayis; you don't tear on the old city. But says Rav Sternbach, his eitza is that when you're tearing on Har HaBayis, you should have in mind the kavana. This is also, you don't have to make a separate tear. You can make a kavana. This is also for Ir HaAtika. Why? So now he adds, why does he think that's important? Shabbat Onoseinah Rabim, many, many people have this terrible thing. Upir Semu, Eila Hayom, Yushalayim, Ilu Hayom, Yushalayim, Kfar Eina, Chareva Od. People have this mistaken, crazy, Tzionish idea that nowadays, because of all the good things that have happened, somehow it's not a Churban anymore. Umashmitim Mehanusach to Nachem, and he refers to those terrible people who changed Nachem. Why? Because he ascribes them as if they think that just like when you're discussing whether Taiwan is built up and Paris or London or Boston is built up, so if you would describe, so, oh wow, you know, they regentrified the south side and they built up and now they knocked down all these old things and they built up all these new apartment buildings, you know how many new units are there and there's office towers and this beautiful glimmering glass and so that's how we would describe any other major city in the world if we were trying to give evidence of its being built up. Lahavdil, we probably even describe Tel Aviv that way. That would be accurate, says Sternbach. But the mistake that certain people make is that they even think that that's how you define Binyana of Yerushalayim. And now that people say, oh, look at all the yeshivas, look at all the houses, the real estate prices of Yerushalayim, that that somehow confuses them into thinking that that's the definition of Binyan. Chas v'shalom, he says, rather b'shosh ha'shchina b'vanusena harabim eina imanu u'bonei Yerushalayim Hashem. Alkein k'day lahazki k'shakarek k'shemitztar nami al-churban yirakodesh v'hames abo Yerushalayim zoche v'roya esimchasa. So he adds just a little bit of a knetch, a little bit of a oomph, and he thinks that part of this mistake, it's not a coincidence, he says, that those rabbonim, in essence is what he's saying, those Rabbanim who are proposing this change, that they're from the Tzionish camp. As if they're confusing the physical growth of Eretz Yisrael with the spiritual growth. Which Lashitaso is a very consistent criticism that Rabbanim from the anti-Tzioni camp have had of the Rabbanim of the Tzioni camp. Now is not the time to get into a kind of debate, and certainly people like Rav Goren and Rav Chaim David Levi certainly do not mean me to defend them. The point is just simply that we should understand, which I'm sure they did, to be frank, we should understand that the binyan that we hope for, of course we want the physical growth, but obviously we remember that what's really important is the spiritual growth. So what should you do? You should ask your local Orthodox rabbi. I don't know what you should do. But you have 5 options, 4 different versions of a change reflecting the reality, and then you have what is clearly to me the predominant view of poskim, which is that you shouldn't do anything. And you should have in mind, despite all the great chesed that we've received and the great kindness of our generation has been blessed with, that we should hope that, nevertheless, we should remember all that's missing. And whatever one's nusach is, I would say in this case, Echad Amar Bev Echad Amamit, Bevaj Yechavin Libo L'Shem Shamayim. We have a lot to be thankful for, we have a lot to daven for, and whatever nusach a person uses, certainly both kavanas should be in mind. Have an easy rest of the fast.